I want to ask you to turn with me again to a familiar passage of Scripture today, and that's found in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to read only a portion of the larger passage today, but I want to ask you to begin reading with me in verse 8. Now, I understand that we are past Christmas Day. But one of the things that has struck me over the years in our cultural remembrance of things, Christmas becomes an event. You have Thanksgiving, that's an event in November. You have Christmas and the event in December. You have New Year's, the event in January. I want to tell you today, folks, Christmas is not an event. Christmas reminds us of the beginning of a journey. The birth of Christ was the performance of a promise that God had given from the womb of the Virgin Mary. Everything that happened after that happened after Christmas. You think about that? Happened after the birth of Christ. What we're going to read about today happened that same night, but it was after the birth of Christ. And it struck me that our lives are that way. As He is born within us and we begin our walk by faith, that's not an event to be an end in itself. It is a beginning of a walk. Jesus began His life in a manger in Bethlehem. After that, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Father, thank you for the record given to us in these words. Thank you that it is familiar to us. But Father, help us this day to see it afresh. Help me as your messenger to speak under the anointing of your Spirit and to speak clearly in such a way that we might understand your message. And then, Father, apply it to each one of us who is in this auditorium today, that we might have the application and the message that each individual needs for their lives. Lord, as I preach, help me to preach to myself. As I preach, help me to preach your glory. As I preach, Lord, help us to understand. Help us to be convinced. Help us to be convicted. Help us to be converted. Help us to walk in obedience. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. And I want to ask you to note with me three things about this passage today, and I'm going to try to piece these three things together within a reasonable time frame, because there's a lot that could be said about each one of the three. But I want you to notice with me, first of all, this morning, that the action that takes place in this particular passage of Scripture involves the appearance of an angel, and then of a multitude of heavenly hosts. And I think that is also, it would be easy for us to say, a multitude of angels. And the pronouncement and the declaration of those angels. Now, I contemplated splitting this totally today and just saving the angels to another part, but I don't think I need to do that. I think we need to understand something today. I want you to notice verse 9. While these shepherds were out on the hillside outside of Bethlehem, there appeared unto them the angel of the Lord who came upon them. This was a sudden appearance. And with the appearance of this angel, the glory of the Lord, it wasn't the glory of the angel, it was the glory of the Lord that shone round about. Verse 13 tells us that there were suddenly a multitude of heavenly hosts. Now, what I want you to understand with me today, brothers and sisters, is an application for all of us. This angel that brought the message, remember, it was an angel that brought the message to Zacharias about the coming birth of John the Baptist. It was an angel that brought the message to Mary about her conception of the Son of God. It is an angel now that appears to the shepherds to announce his birth. What I want you to understand is the importance of the reality that angels are very real heavenly creatures. They're not a figment of our imagination. They're not some fantasy critter. They're not some imaginary hallucination that a person gets emotional and has. Angels are created beings that God has created for a very special purpose. Angels exist just as real. Take just a minute. Pinch yourself. Can you feel it? That's because it's real. It hurts a little bit. I'm not going to squeeze that hard. But just as real as I am, angels are just that real. Now, you can't see them, but that doesn't mean that they're not around us. Notice with me the passage of Scripture in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 6. This is from the record that the Bible gives us about something in the life of the prophet Elisha. Elisha had an adversary. That adversary was the king of Syria. He had sent troops to come. And one morning, Elisha and his servant get up and they look out around the city where they were. And surrounding the city were the soldiers of the Syrian army. And the young servant of Elisha was, "Oh, master, what are we going to do?" I want you to notice with me, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. "When the servant of the man of God was risen up early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, 'Alas, my master, how shall we do?' And he," that is the master, that is the prophet Elijah, "answered, 'Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them.'" Okay, don't panic. There's more on our side than there are of them. One, two. Are you sure? "And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see.'" Now, Elijah could already see him. Elijah knew what was there. But the servant couldn't. And yet the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. You see, my point here is that The man was like we are. We walk through our life and we see the immediate thing that's around us, and he couldn't see. But there was around him a multitude. You remember that multitude of heavenly hosts? There was a multitude, and there were more on his side than there were on the Assyrian side. You remember what John says? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You see, God has a multitude of heavenly hosts. What I want you to understand is these are not men that have lived and died and gotten promoted. Now, I don't say that with any disrespect, but there's an erroneous idea that when somebody lives, and especially when they've lived a good life and they've been a believer and they've been faithful, that when they die, they become an angel that watches over us. What I want you to understand is that angels are not humans who advance. Angels are created beings created for a specific purpose, and they have been there all along. And that purpose, my brothers and sisters, is you. What do you mean, preacher? Look with me in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. The comparison in this chapter of Hebrews and in all the early part of Hebrews is the excellency of Christ to any other thing. Okay? To which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? That's a message that was given through prophecy concerning Christ. It wasn't said to angels, it was said to Jesus. Why? What are the angels? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who are the heirs of salvation? You see, brothers and sisters, we who are heirs of salvation, we who are described in Romans chapter 8 as being heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Jesus was born and became a little lower than the angels. If you go back in chapter 2, verses 7, 8, and 9, you're told that Jesus became a little, we see Jesus made a little lower than the angel. But when Jesus returned to heaven, Jesus as the risen Lord, he was higher than the angels. And we're going to be lifted to have what he has in heaven. The angels will remain the angels, but we will be the inheritors of salvation in Jesus Christ. But what I want you to see is that God in his omnipotence, and God in his wisdom, and God in his promise has a ministering body that's around us. The inheritors of salvation. They are ministering spirits to us. Just as they were around Elisha, God had them there. God has them there for us today. We use that expression, our guardian angel. I'm going to tell you today, folks, there's a lot more than one of them. There's a sufficient one that's bigger than any obstacle we face. Now, don't necessarily say he bails us out of our foolishness with no consequence. But he preserves us from the attacks of Satan. You can go over in the book of Jude and read, and I'm not going to go this morning and read because I've got too much more to get to. But in Jude, he tells us that there was a time when the archangel resisted Satan over the body of Moses. Moses had died, and the angel resisted. Satan wanted to take his body. Satan wanted to claim victory. And he resisted. He didn't rail and ran against him. He rebuked him. And he was sufficient for the task. That's the point that I want you to see. That God's angels are sufficient for the task that God assigns to them. And you are the recipient of their ministering. That included the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ. There were shepherds that were, they were the lower class of people. They were, we like to use the term today, blue collar workers. They wouldn't even qualify as blue collar. They were on the outside. They were out on the hills on the outside. They were honorable men. They did an honest day's work. But to those that were away on the outside, there came a message. Now, who brought the message? The angel of the Lord. And what did he bring? What did that angel bring? The glory of the Lord. You see, what I want you to know, beloved, is that God has His ministering servants round about us even today that manifest His glory in preserving our life and our hope as an heir of salvation. It is the glory of the Lord that shines through their work. And what happened when that angel showed up? There's some other things. I'm going to stop right there about the angels. I want to back up. What happened when the angel showed up? The glory of the Lord shone round about them and scared the bejeebers out of them. You have to use your imagination as to what happened. But I suspect that there were some men who fell on the ground. There were some men who hid their face. There were some men who trembled. There were some men who were frightened. And the message of the angel, first of all, was what? Fear not. You see, beloved, the message of Christmas is a message above all else. That is a message that removes fear. Now, a lot of things have changed about Christmas over the years. A lot of things have grown and been advertised and been sold and added and tacked on, and a lot of things have appeared as if that Christmas has always been that way. I'm going to tell you, Christmas is not about bangles and baubles and fancy paper and ribbons and trees, and I hear all kinds of efforts to make a Christmas tree biblical, and I hate to bust your bubble, but there's nothing in the Bible at all about a Christmas tree. We have them and they're pretty, but they're not biblical. But you see, there is a biblical message about Christmas, and it is the core message, and it is the message that God still sends to us. And that message is first and foremost to remove our fear in the presence of God. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and the angel said, I've got some good news for you. Fear not. I'm going to tell you, folks, if we stood face to face with the glory of God, would tremble in our boots. God's a merciful God. That's right, He is. God's a compassionate God. Thank God that He is. But God is a righteous God, and God is a perfect God, and God is a holy God, and God is a glorious God, and you and I aren't. And the contrast between those two bring fear. And the message of Christmas is that in the presence of the Lord, our fear is removed because of the message. I bring you good tidings, good news. That's where we actually get the idea of the word gospel. Good news. I bring you the gospel. The good news of the gospel is that unto you is born today a what?
Savior.
A Savior which is Christ the Lord. You see, the thing that makes us fearful in the presence of God is our sin. I want you to notice, the angel didn't say, there's been a guy born that 30 years from now is going to become a Savior. He's going to grow up to be a preacher, and when he gets there, he'll bring salvation. I want you to notice, he was born the Savior. What was the name that was given to him? What was the name that was given to Mary? And what was the name that was given to Joseph? Thou shalt call his name... What do you call him? Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. You see, brothers and sisters, the core message of Christmas is not about prosperity. It's not about fun. It's not about families. It's not about custom. It's not about all of those things are good. And they all have a place. But the core message of Christmas is that the mercy of God in heaven sent a Savior to wash away the sin that separates us from God. I bring you good tidings of great joy, mega joy, an overflowing joy, an exceedingly abundant joy. The greatest joy that we may have is to know that the thing which separated us from God has been removed. What is it that separates us from God? Look in the writings, in the words of the prophet in Isaiah chapter 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But God's God. He's always been God. He'll always remain God. And he's always had the same abilities. But, isn't that a big word? There's a contrast here. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Yeah, them kings and them priests up there in Jerusalem, they done some bad things. Whoa. That's not what this said. The politicians in Washington, all the entertainers out in California, bad culture. That's not what this says. You know what separates you from God? Your sin. Your iniquity. Well, I hadn't done what... That's not the point. The point is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when the glory of God shines round about us, we are sore afraid. I'll tell you, when God in His Holy Spirit begins to convict our souls of the realization of our sin, there's a fear that comes into place that says, I'm not what I ought to be. I can't get to where I ought to be. I can't stop from failing and from coming short. But you see, the grand message, the great joy of the message of Christmas is that there is a Savior. There is one to save from sin. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall teach you some good things. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he's going to be a miracle worker. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he'll put them Pharisees in their place. No. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And the thing which separates us will be removed in Jesus Christ. If you go back over into the book of Romans and look at Romans chapter 8, look with me in verses 3 and 4. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Now, the problem wasn't with the law. The law was God's law, and it was holy, and it was right. The problem was that flesh couldn't keep it. The problem was not that God left something out of the law. The problem was that flesh couldn't do what the law required. The problem's not with God, the problem's with us. Oh, Christianity pushes people away. Oh, church religion pushes people. Listen, the problem's not with God, the problem's not with Christianity, the problem's with us in our sin, in our pride, and the great joy is that God made a way in spite of my failings. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. It judged sin in our flesh. It overcame sin in our flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. How? Because His righteousness is counted as ours. It might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, God sent His Son, made just like we are, in the likeness of the flesh. And how did He save? He paid the one price that you and I could not pay and then live again. You see, death is what was required. Well, I could die for my sin, but I couldn't live again. He died for my sin. He carried my sin to the grave. He left it in the grave and He rose again. And He is the Lamb of God from before the foundation of the world. And that's, the angel said, a Savior is born. And that Savior will become the Christ. No. Is Christ, the Messiah, the anointed Christ, the Lord. You see, folks, there's the message of Christmas. Don't let that message get shadowed out by other things. Don't let that message be changed by culture. Don't let that message be lost. The message is the glory of God. The glory of the Lord shone upon them. What was the, when the angel said, you'll find that babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, you shall find. He didn't say, you better go look for it. His promise was, you shall find. Because when the Holy Spirit works in our life, He draws us to Christ, and we shall find that for which God draws us. Am I going to do it perfectly? No. But I won't miss it. You shall find. And what was the response? And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host saying, y'all get a move on. It wasn't about the shepherds. It was about whom? Glory to God in the highest. You see, the coming of Jesus Christ glorified the Father. He said, Father, glorify thy name. He said, I have and I will again. And He glorified His name at Calvary. He glorified His name when He came out of the tomb. And He will glorify His name for all eternity. And you know what? You and I will have part of glorifying God. Because God sent His Son in the likeness of flesh to save us from our sins. And I'll tell you today that the message that was given to those angels on that night when Jesus had been born and the path was just starting, that message is just as good, it's just as great, and it's just as important for you today as we approach a new year. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. It was going to be to the Jews and to the Gentiles. It was going to be to the Romans, to the Greeks, to the British, to the Russians, to the Chinese, to the Americans, to all peoples. It was going to be in the first century. It was going to be in the 21st century. I bring you good tidings, which shall be to all people. I bring you... Oh, by the way, this is interesting too. You understand that because the minister of the gospel brings the message of Jesus Christ, he's referred to as an angel, messenger. Now, I know I don't look like one. And my wife will tell you real quick, a lot of times I don't behave like one. But that's not the point. The point is, the message says, I bring you good tidings of great joy. There is born to you today a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Acts chapter 4, and I close with this verse. Acts chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name, Jesus. I don't know what conviction there may have been upon your heart and life as you realize before God that you don't have a lot of worth that would earn for you a place in God's presence. You look at yourself and you may think, well, I come up short. Yep, you do. God's already said that. All have sinned and come short of the glory. But what He also says is, there is born for you this day a Savior. You can put your trust in His work. It's not believe in Him and then prove it. It's not believe in Him and then do enough. It's not believe in Him and then walk long enough or far enough. It's believe in Him. He is the answer for your salvation. Trust in Him. Oh, He's given us good works to do. One of those good works is to be a witness, to make a profession of faith, to be baptized, to walk as part of the body in public. But all of that is not the cause. All of that is the effect of His grace. There is born to you today a Savior, Christ the Lord. Maybe you're here today and know that this is the day that you're to take that step and to walk as part of the Lord's body and to say, I'll follow Him. He came for me. He lived for me. He died for me. He rose again for me. And He's my Savior. And because of Him, I'm an heir of salvation. Father, help us today to rejoice as we're given great joy in what You have already done and how You came and how You died and how You rose and how You will come back. Jesus is our Savior. This is our hope. It's our hope in the midst of a troubled world, of a dark world, of a perplexing circumstance. But that's when the shepherds received the message. And the message is the same for us today. Lord, help us to put our whole hope and trust and joy and praise in the name of Jesus. Give strength to those who need to take that step. Guide and comfort those who might struggle. Help us for Christ's sake. And amen. The doors of the church are open as we stand together to sing our final hymn. Brother Danny will come to lead us as we sing this hymn. May the Lord bless and keep, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.